the typical thing you find under glass is like a metal sheet or something like that, or concrete.
Well, I haven't really come to any conclusion what I would do for collectors if I would try to buy some that are ready-made ones, or if I would make them myself. But I haven't investigated what the cost is of manufactured panels.
That is a good investigation. Like you say, you're going to do that one. So the I think there's a this one company that I know had a big sale. They wanted to get started in a big way, so they were selling all of their stuff at cost. And I think they were selling a kit to heat your hot water. Now, this was a water system. And their kit, just to heat your domestic hot water, was about $1,200. This was for solar panels and a water heater and the plumbing. It did not include installation, which, I don't know, getting the plumber and electrician and so forth, or whether you do it yourself, that's a question.
Well, also in this pebble storage bed, I intended to incorporate copper tubing coil, a few coils of that, to the preheater to the electric hot water heater.
Yeah, rather than, I just think it might be worthwhile, rather than, say, your storage bed, and let me just draw a basement here, and then ground, and say you've got this crib down here that you're, now you're running the hot air, however, whatever, in a duct down here. Okay, rather than take and put the coils down here, I would take the heat while you still got it at its max and run off what you need in that coil to your hot water heater before you get it down here, because this will tend to, you know, when you throw your heat in here, it's going to tend to drop in temperature because you're heating up this mass. So you'd want to use the heat while it's still, you know, at its highest grade. And then when you have enough of this, you might just bypass, you know, just a little valve arrangement here. Or if, let's draw this a little bigger where this duct is coming down. Let's say this is coming off the collector over here. Excuse me. I'll try not to scratch on the blackboard. Say that this is the collector here. Whatever. And then you're drawing heat off the top of it. And it's going down into the rock box. And then it's exhausting, and then probably coming back, so that you've got a little, okay. If you just ran your coils in that duct, then they're going to be getting, you know, like 140 degree air or so. And then they can be your preheat. That's sort of like the old business of the way the stove used to be. You know? And maybe some of that hardware you could find and use again.
Do you have anything on taking the well water?
Yeah, since it's warmer than?
Well, it's 55 degrees.
No, I don't. I really, you know, my sort of involvement has been with more of the heating of the air systems. And I haven't really been involved in the hot water aspect too much. What we've done, we have heated our hot water in these houses with the solar, but we've usually used a commercially available installation as opposed to cookbook or, you know, doing it yourself.
How much air do you have to move? What's the cubic feet per minute of your air source through a system like that?
Got me.
Physically, how big would the fan be?
I know what you're saying. The duct that we dumped into the rock box on that family circle house was about a 12-inch diameter duct. And it went down. So you know, reasonably want to move enough air to pull. If you move too fast, you're going to be overcooling. And so you might want to put a rheostat on your fan so you can sort of learn to sail your system, or, you know, practice with your system so that you can maximize the return that you're getting out of your situation. And then, as I was saying, as that comes down in here, that little duck would probably want to be in a situation where the air didn't have to go any more than about 5 feet to reach any extreme of the box. So you might want to design the rock box such that it didn't, the air that's released in there from a perforated duct as it's going through there, you know, wouldn't have too far to find its way to the end of the rock box. We found that if you get too far away, the heating doesn't seem to work quite as evenly. One thing what I'm doing in the house that I'm designing for this couple on Hood Canal is their view is to the north. And so they want a lot of windows. They have a beautiful view. So there's going to be windows that way, you know. And the whole idea is to have the sun coming in the south side and then minimize the windows this way. So what we did was we created an entry over here through a solarium, and then we put a reasonable amount of windows over here, and these are going to be losers for them. But another thing that we did was we compartmentalized the house slightly. Now that the way they can operate is they have a kitchen and dining area with a little wood stove, and this entry area. Now this will be heated and this mass will be warm and be radiating this way. They have a little wood stove in here. They can shut off the living room, so they're not trying to heat all this space. Like early in the morning and so forth, they might throw a log in that little fireplace that they're coming up with. And then, so they're trying to reduce the amount of area they're trying to heat also. And then they have a view out here too. Is anybody planning on anybody else planning on remodeling or thinking about research? And, I think there's a tax advantage right now, and I don't know how long that's going to last. Or do you know about that one?
No, I think so far it's still 82, but I'm not positive. It seems so that.
You can deduct, is it the cost of the installation from your net tax bill? Mm. Or do you recall how that works?
Well, there are ways of depending upon, you can get as much as 60% of it back. Mm-hmm. But like in a new installation, you know, that you were building a new house, you have a difficult time of proving which is part of the heating system and which is part of the structure of the building.
Yeah. Okay?
And then also you're going to have a basic heating system, you know, alternative one, like the solar. Mm-hmm. But now, from what I understand, if you're retrofitting to your existing building, well, all of that was put in there is for that particular system. So then, I don't know just exactly how much, but I understand that it is up to 60%, but I don't know how it is.
Yeah. One of the things that forces is that almost forces in a new house construction for a person to go to a more active, a more complex or technical system. Because if you go to simple things like south-facing glass and a lot of things that... south-facing glass, a solarium, maybe brick paving and mm-hmm. so forth, that does accept the heat and so forth, then you could never say that that's specifically for solar.
Right. Yeah,
you know, you wanted that anyway, so you're not going to get a deduction for it.
But the tax credit is a credit directly off the taxes. It's not adjustment to income.
Okay, so there is a real strong leverage that way.
Yeah. Duane, can I just describe our house briefly and ask what, if you see any possibilities? A rather simple design. We live in an old row house.
Okay.
And it's the end of the row, so the house is called a semi-detached house.
Okay.
The wall that we share is a north wall with our neighbors.
Okay, so the south sun is coming this way, and this would be your unit.
No, yes, that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. So it's the long way.
Okay.
I mean, we have a lot of glass on the south.
Mm-hmm.
It's three floors,
mm-hmm.
but it is only one room wide.
Okay.
The house is only 15 feet wide and it's 60 feet long.
So there's three floors here.
Yeah.
And this, then there's somebody else next door here with three.
That's right.
Somebody else next door here with three, et cetera.
That's right.
And you've got one room with, so...
One room, one of those floors includes is the basement.
Okay, so the ground level is somewhere in here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there is an attic.
Okay.
And with Hess, it's a facade on it, so it does have windows, small windows in
the attic. Okay, so there's the peak is like here.
Yeah.
Yeah, down at the high spot. So we end up with something, if we looked at this view, we end up with that, where we get this floor, and then an attic with some windows.
Actually, the peak, so to speak, is on the south too, and it tilts back. It isn't a center peak. It's just a facade. I mean, I can do it easier than that.
Okay.
It's like so.
Oh, okay.
And then the neighbor is just a slight step up, and there are some small windows here.
Okay.
But it is a stand-up attic along this side, along the south side.
All right.
And I was just wondering what possibilities there were if you only have one room wide and a lot of south exposure.
Okay. Do you have any property out here?
Yeah, it goes to the sidewalk, which would be about 15 feet, I would say.
So out here is
sidewalk and street.
The street.
But we do have property about 15 feet wide on each of the three sides, actually.
Do you know what sort of setback you have?
What?
In most building jurisdictions, this is something before you get carried away and back to your house. It's good to remember that in most jurisdictions, if you take a typical lot, whether it's a multiple family situation or an individual, there's restrictions on how close you can get to the property line.
Mm-hmm. I don't actually know. Good question.
Okay. That would be a factor. First, you'd want to find that out. You may find in this situation, you may not have permission to build any closer than you already are built.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were able to build out, you could, you know, put some sort of greenhouse out there as
mm-hmm.
a collector. Another thing that would be possible, if you didn't have a lot of room, and they would allow, some jurisdictions will allow you, say your setback was right tight to the face of the building, they would allow you to overhang or cantilever. Sometimes up to 3 feet or so.
I'm sure there would be no problem with that. We have a garage that extends about 6 feet out of that distance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe if you went out as far as the garage, it would be possible. Well, then you could make a narrow space here. Another thing to keep in mind, another design consideration is exiting through bedrooms. Most jurisdictions will require that you're able to exit from your bedrooms through a window. So if you're going, mm-hmm. if you're able to get out another way,
mm-hmm.
but if you create a situation where, say, the room was such that it was in the middle and the only way you could escape in a fire situation was like that, and you build something like that, they may not go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you make it definitely part of the room so that you can move on out and then through it somehow. Most building departments, especially in smaller towns, are very willing to work with people to explain the rules and regulations. And it's really a good idea to do it ahead of time, because if you sort of start off, they have the legal authority to not only stop the work, but force you to tear it all down at great expense. And their charter is to protect the health and safety of everybody. Not only your neighbor, but yourself. And while it seems unfair and inconsistent with the freedom to do with yours as you would, it's a pretty good, it's a reasonable arrangement. Mm-hmm. And so that would be something worth checking. Okay, well, you could create some space out here and perhaps open up some of these windows. You know, like maybe create, get some headers in here and open up these so the space could be even enlarged. Or you could create on, say, a typical window. Now, I don't know, is Werner here? I don't see him, but for some of the buildings around here, Werner Jansen is, there's a unit that you can put right on a window. And I haven't seen it, he was just describing it to me, but somehow or other, it just heats up here, and you can pull the air down. Let's see now. Well, I'll leave that one to Werner. You might check with him on that one. But it's like a little solar collector right on an individual window that's available. But I haven't seen that one.
Something like a small window greenhouse?
Yeah, just like that kind of thing.
We have the one end here is a porch, a three-story enclosed porch on this end.
Okay.
That is it's very cold back there. That's the place where we spend a lot of time, but it's very cold because it sits above the garage.
Okay.
It doesn't have any basement under it.
Okay.
Is there something that can be done just for that? I mean, if we could just do something only with that last
where is the plan? This is sort of a section. Is it if this is the plan of the unit?
Yeah. Actually extends beyond. This is the row.
Okay.
And it's about 9 feet by 15, right here. And it's 3 feet.
Where's your entry to the house?
It's a center entry here.
Oh, okay, on the end.
And there's a backyard entry here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a wood structure. The rest of this is brick.
Great.
This 9 by 15 three-story porch. Or actually, it would be a two-story porch. It's on the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll close.
How do you come into park? This one?
Right here.
Okay, all
right. Yeah. And this right. is also the north, catches the northern
breeze. That'll be.
And this is over here. So we've got windows on three sides back here.
Okay. If you were willing to give up some of your view, not all of it, let's say some of it.
Yeah.
And get these other walls so that they're not radiating the heat that you might gain off the south wall. You see, now that what you're doing sort of though out here in wood frame is you're missing a bit because you've got the masonry here.
Yes.
You've already got that for free, and that's a very good collector of energy and a slow dissipator of it. So I would say if you could find someplace thin, maybe a thin collector out here, some of this gentleman was thinking of, rather than something that goes way out. This is sort of, let me draw the ground here again. So we try to make these things look like sections. The person is standing like that, the head and the body and so forth. Okay. Rather than bumping out something 6 feet or so, if it was a fairly thin thing, and placed it a portion of the building where you didn't have windows looking out.
Yes.
You could create a strip of collection. And do you have any vines that are deciduous?
Vines that are deciduous? Well, they aren't up the masonry.
Well, I'm just thinking in your area that will grow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because that could form like a tree would for a house, you know, that's freestanding on a lot where you might put a tree to shade yourself.
Yeah.
You know, deciduous tree that loses its leaves in the winter and then you get the heat.
Yeah.
You might take something thin and have a vine working on it, make a fairly nice integrated element in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And also by, in a narrower proportion, these row houses are very elegant in their verticality.
Mm-hmm.
And you might come up with something that enhances that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if it's fairly thin, you could put walking decks, you know, maybe it's this wide, with walking decks, and get up and wash the windows and so forth without mm-hmm. this thing being in the way. Then what you'd want to do, you would want to duct the hot air that you got at the top.
Hmm.
Okay, and you'd want to pull it down into some sort of storage, like in your basement. Again, like we were talking mm-hmm. about a rock box mm-hmm. or so forth. Or you could even put columns of water, which are available. Cowall is a company that makes tubes of water.
Hmm.
And you can they have quite a variety, and you might check that company out. Check with an architect in that area back there. The Cowall is in the suites, and the suites is a catalog that you'll find in most architects' offices and even contractors' offices that list the major suppliers of building materials.
Mm-hmm.
And these units are just water tubes. The thing about getting something that heavy and that thin, that high, if you have an earthquake problem, which I don't think you have that much back there, you've always got the danger of getting a mass that high and then getting it moving.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to try to restrain it somehow, which gets into a structural big deal. But if you could just heat, try to empty this out so we can see we have a space here. If you could just heat this space and then pull the heat off of it, and then you're going to have this wall being warmer. If you can pull some blinds at night to keep the thing from radiating back out again, and then that wall should be heated up and will tend to radiate. Now I'm guessing that you have a wood frame inside your brick.
No, I think it's just
a brick all the way through.
It's brick all the way
through. That's even better then.
It's about a foot thick.
That'd be excellent.
Because mm-hmm.
then that wall would become a warm wall wherever you might choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And say this is your plan in here. You might find there might be an area here in one room with a window.
Yes.
You might find there might be another area where you could do it, you know. Then you'd want to do is study it carefully in elevation mm-hmm. and see how it works. So the thing, I don't know quite where your windows are here, but let's just put a few in. Maybe the thing could be on an end. I don't know quite what that was, but or it could be, you might decide to take it all the way to the roof, I don't know, or you might decide not to go up real high with it. Maybe it's down lower, and a couple of things like that.
Yeah, we have some space between them.
Or you might even decide, somebody was mentioning to me after the session this morning that she had stayed in a envelope house, which is another concept of solar house. And the house basically is like this, where there's everything, the whole house is in here. There's like about 18 inches or so completely around the house. And this space heats up here, where the sun comes in. The heat rises, and as it cools, it comes around the house, and like that, it's like being in a womb. Okay. And so there's really no problem if you line up glass with glass of looking through two layers of glass. You know, if you had a layer of glass here, and a layer here, you could look through both layers. And that's what I was thinking here on the end. If you put like a small shed, even on the lower level, maybe a roof up at that level, let's drop this down a story, maybe like that, then the glass like that, then it wouldn't be so unmanageable to go up so high. That's assuming you don't have shading here. Now if you took a line from here and went at 20 degrees, you hit something across the street?
At 20 degrees, probably not. It's a good broad street.
Good. that's something to check out, because if you see in the...
We do have a lot of sun, I mean, from early on in the day.
Yeah, well, it might be a reason to hold it low, or it might be a reason to move it higher.
Yeah, there, the houses across the street are also row houses about the same height.
As the sun comes up, you know, in the wintertime, this high point at noon is about 20 degrees. During the heating times, from about 9 to about 3, the average here, I think, is about 15 degrees. You know, it goes from about 10 up here. So even 20, there's sometimes below there you'd like to have sun, but, you know, on the average. And also, this is December 21st, and it gets better on each side of that time. So.
Yeah, thank you.
First, I'd like to go home. What do you find about humidity?
What?
How do you deal with humidity in Washington? Is this Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
What do you do about that?
Comes to Washington State.
Yes, that's right. find house sitters.
One thing that might be possible to do to help you with some of your cooling and sort of that stickiness would be to use the thing in the summertime to create a chimney. Where, say, you had the thing on the end of the building here, and you got this heated up, and you didn't allow the heat to come in, but you sort of closed things off at this level, and you let that heat, and you had a ventilation, you know, ventilable windows at the top. Let that heat come out, and then open other windows on the cooler side of the building. You can draw that cooler air through to create a natural cooling.
Good.
How difficult are permits to get if you don't do any structural things to your house?
They're not difficult in the Seattle area that I know of. As a matter of fact, if you do no structural changes and you don't change the envelope of the house, you know, like protruding out and so forth, they have a section in the code where they will allow you to do changes without a permit. But it would be good to talk to them and make sure that you qualify within their understanding. Typically, the main thing that they're worried about is that you're not allowed to do something with your property that somebody else is not allowed to do, because then they'd be forced to put on their badge and do their work. They're worried about setbacks. And then in some neighborhoods and so forth, there are certain covenants. Typically, you might find with your deed, you had covenants which restricted storage of recreational vehicles or boats how high fences might be, things like that. And in some jurisdictions, they even have design review boards where such things as signs, fences, like if a church is in a neighborhood, the sign would have to be reviewed, and fence heights. So essentially, but they're worried about setbacks, and they're worried about the structure. Electrical and mechanical, they might want to have a licensed person do it. It depends on how tightly controlled things are. Structural, basically, if there's a structural change, they'd be interested in that.
I was thinking just if you put in one of those rock things
rock
in your basement.
Okay.
You just put up an enclosure made out of concrete blocks.
Well,
one corner.
Just as an example now, our office is the building department for two small towns, because they're too small to have their own building department. We require, like if somebody wanted to do that, we would require a permit for it in those two jurisdictions. And basically, the people come in and they say, well, this is what I want to do. It's not necessarily solar extensions. In fact, it's usually not. What it is, they want to add on to their house or whatever. And so we'll say, well, we're going to require basically drawings that explain what you're going to do, what was existing and what is new. With regard to a foundation, we'll want to see that there's steel in the foundation, and there's checkpoints along the process where we will inspect the job. When the forms are built, then the office is called and an inspector goes out and he looks and makes sure that the forms, that there's solid earth below the forms, that they've gone down to solid bearing, that the steel is in, and so when the concrete is poured, we'll have a wall that will stand up. If you get a wall over a certain height, basically over 4 feet, then it becomes a retaining wall. And we'll have to have more steel and may require an engineer's stamp to be approved. Okay, after that stage, say the concrete is poured, then the next stage you'll find that will typically be inspected with most building departments, is they'll want to see the bare bones framing. They want to see that stage, and then they'll approve that. And typically, also, I think Axel can help me on this, when most contractors will get this shell up, they will sheathe the shell on the outside, but not on the inside. They'll put the roof on and the siding, or sheathing anyway. Maybe not siding, but at least the plywood, so that you can still see all the sticks. And then that'll be another stage for inspection. And sometimes they'll put the wiring in at this stage, because they want to be able to cover it with wallboard and the interior finishes next. And there's not really a good reason to come back again. And so that's the next stage that you're looking to have reviewed. And they have a little card, and they come out and they have a stage of each deal, and they'll sign it, a building permit card. And you have to staple it right to the construction. Then once you're allowed to cover, they have, in our jurisdiction, that it's such a usually residential construction because it's a small jurisdiction. The only thing after that would be a cover inspection, which means, a final inspection. All the finishes are in. Washington State now has a very rigid energy code. Make sure the insulation, in fact, you can see the insulation probably, well, that's going to require another. That just came in effect July 1st. And we're going to see another level of inspection required, because I don't know how you can see the wiring and then see the insulation. So those are some of the stages that they require. Looks like a covered bridge. Or dog house. I found that most of the time the building departments are pretty helpful. They have, like anything, they have permit fees and things like that too.
Amy, this is mine.
If you're sitting in a Midwestern area with a house with the roof facing east-west, mm-hmm. and a house sitting both north and south of you shading it,
okay,
it doesn't look like you have much chance except to put something on the roof.
Okay, let's try to find your situation. Let's say we've got three lots, and this is north. Now your lot,
my house would be in the middle.
Okay.
There would be a house sitting adjacent to it to the north, and a house sitting adjacent to it in the south.
Is the street to the east or west?
No, the street is to the east.
Okay.
It sits on a terrace.
Okay, so your access to your driveway is like that. And is your house long ways like that?
Right.
Okay.
The driveway only goes underneath.
Okay.
Goes into the house. Yeah.
Okay, like a slightly lower.
Mm-hmm. The house is built 1927 or thereabouts.
And this is fairly close here, like 10 feet?
Quite, really? Less than that.
This is like our house, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Single roof, which goes length of the house.
Okay.
And they're all sitting in the same position. You know,
okay.
It's 1927's comparable to the track house that they do at the present time.
Okay. Now, you say the roof is in a single plane?
Mm-hmm. This way. With the hip or the main beam going to the middle of it is the length of the house.
It's north south. So there's one high point there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now in my case, I have a porch on the south side.
Okay.
Small porch, and I have a porch.
A porch here.
Yeah, it's a lean-to type thing there over the garage, and I have a lean-to type thing behind the house too.
Okay.
Right.
More like that. One thing that we didn't really discuss, but as the sun is coming in during the day, sometimes the afternoon sun is a little more valuable because if you have a cloud cover in the morning, this is more typical maybe for us out here because we have a cloud cover in the morning in the Seattle area quite a bit. And so the afternoon sun is a little more valuable than the early morning. So we can sort of take what normally a due north or due south sun and sort of shift this whole thing a bit so we get more afternoon sun. Is that a possibility of truth for your situation? Is this a greenhouse? Or?
No, just an added room.
Okay. One thing you want to be concerned about is a little bit of shadowing here that you'd get.
The problem is, of course, there are trees both east and the west. In a house north and south.
The trees like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The trees in this direction here, the east direction, would not be that much of a problem. It sits up on a hill, it sits up on a terrace.
Okay.
But the ones most certainly in the back are.
What's the function of the room here?
Presently it's my study.
Okay. Would you feel comfortable giving up a wall? Do you have enough windows in the other walls that you could treat this wall sort of like a Trombe wall?
Possibly. The room is about 12 by 15.
The thing that I would do, I would check out the sun angles here and see what your blockage is.
Mm-hmm.
If there's evergreen trees here, you know, that don't lose their foliage, then that would, and they're fairly tall, then you'd have such a blockage that, you know, you're really looking at a hard problem. But if these are deciduous trees, they're going to help you in the summertime. In the winter, they should be fairly bare.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you might have enough of a shot once you got beyond this house. And these are two-story houses?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another possibility, this is a one-story thing for you here, would be to do something on your roof.
Well, I was very interested in the idea that when it came up about the possibility of utilizing the attic, hit a familiar chord.
If you took an attic, let's take that roof.
The house is actually almost 27 feet square.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's been the same guy that built mine. Mine's 24 by 32, it's real. It might be possible on this end, because this shed is lower, isn't it, on this end?
The shed covers only a portion of it above the garage, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's on this end?
Nothing above it. Bedroom.
No windows on
the bedroom. There are two bedrooms that face over that shed. There's a window each.
Okay, so they're split in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one thing you might consider doing would be to create something up at this point here. Now, by the time the next roof right in line over here, the next lot, is right like that, really what's shading you is this cone up here, or the peak. You might get a shadow on here, like in the morning, the shadow would probably trace something like this, where the shadow is going across your face like that. You might pick up something here. Another possibility would be to put out a dormer which came down like that. And let me draw that plan where, if that's the roof plan, the thing might come out somewhere like that and come out like that. Now, this would be a vertical surface.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could allow it to come down at this slope, like that.
At a particular latitude, there is an ideal
angle,
is that recall?
Right. What latitude are you?
I can't remember the exact. About equivalent to Springfield, Illinois. It's
typically about the latitude plus 15 degrees. Like, for instance, here we're at about 45, 45th. Okay, so we're about 60 degrees is ideal. But if you remember that chart that I showed this morning where it said the gain, this was January and February and here in the dip. And then here was like July and or August and September. Okay, at 60 degrees, this was really high here. And at let's say that's 60 degrees. And at 90 degrees, where it's vertical, this dropped down, but this didn't really fall that much here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want the deep bend anyway. And so if vertical worked out for you, if it, you could go either way. So if you're, you can see there's not much loss. Well, there wasn't much loss here. How do you see it?
Somebody else may want to ask you. That gives me an idea. However, this would be better, would it not, if I could do that? Because I have this shading in the earlier part of the day, so I would get something here earlier if I could stick it on that.
Yeah, if you could find a way to get something sort of built in here, and say it were even in front of the windows, it was glass and glass. Maybe I'll try to draw that a little more carefully. See, we've got this dividing line, which you don't really see, but that's the bedroom dividing line. There's a window here and here. You get this glass element that maybe comes out just a little bit and stays within the overhang. Maybe the overhang is not like that. Okay. You're probably going to have to build some sort of structure to hold that glass up here. But that could probably be pretty reasonably done. Then you could actually just put framing members here, lining them up carefully so that they're not going to be right in the middle of the window. And then glaze this. By glaze, I mean put glass on. Okay. And then you could take your heat right off your attic. You can run it through your attic, pick up the heat you've already got there, that you've gained anyway, and run that down. That's the problem I've got at my house. I'm looking for a place to run this down. because I've got to go through two floors of rooms to some sort of storage. And then, of course, the wall would probably behind here. You would want to treat all but the windows with some sort of darkened condition, like a black metal or something like that, so that it's... That was the reason that you'd want to do that, is because if it were lighter colored, you'd get that reflection as opposed to absorption. Because the short wave is coming in through the glass, hits the wall. If it can be absorbed and then re-radiated, it's changed to that longer wavelength, and then the glass won't let it out. But the thing to do would be to sort of check out these angles here. You'd be catching some in the morning, some in the afternoon. It'd be sort of worthwhile just sort of doing a mechanical drawing layout.
Mm-hmm.
To see those shadows.
Also watching.
Yeah, and another good reference book for sun angles is Architectural Graphic Standards. They have the different areas of the country, they have the sun angles at the different times of the year. So you could, you know, sort of create the geometry that you need.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see, what time did you say it was?
4:50.
4:50, I think we'd probably better Go ahead.
Maybe just one question.
Okay.
How do you feel about those shades that, I don't know if you've talked about that before I got in here or not, where you can pull them down and raise them up? Just very similar to a regular shade, however they, I think they reflect.
Insulated shade.
Worth the money or?
Well, the most valuable thing that you can do, the most money returning or best thing you can do is have good weather stripping and good caulking on the windows. That's worth the most money, because infiltration, the heat that you lose through leaks in your house, is the biggest robber of the energy that you've tried to warm yourself with. The second biggest robber, really, is heat loss through the walls and windows, which is then your shade comes in. Okay, if you can stop, we also had a chart this morning where we talked about heat loss through a single glazed window versus a double glazed window versus a wall. Well, if you're going to add that insulated shade there, you're going to help yourself an awful lot. But you also have to remember how much of the house is window and how much is wall. If a typical house maybe is 20-25% glass in some of the newer houses, now what you're doing is you're attacking 25% of the wall area, and you're improving it by half. So you'd have to sort of think about what contribution does this make to my overall heat loss. I would say generally, yes, I think that it would be reasonable to do. Okay, but the nuts and bolts, dollars and cents.
I priced for the whole flare.
Okay.
They're 3.5 a square foot.
That sounds pretty expensive. A tube of caulking is about $350. You have to go around several windows.
But just pulling an ordinary window shade down.
A heavy grate even.
Makes a heck of a lot of difference.
Helps, yeah. Because, see, one of the things that people are sensitive to, comfort-wise, is the surface temperature. If you're sitting next to a cold window here, if that cold window, your body, you know, like it's a warm mass will radiate to a cold mass. If you've got a window here, you're going to radiate heat to that. And that's why you feel uncomfortable sitting in front of a window at night with no drape pulled. If your house is heated and it's fairly cold outside, if you pull a heavy drape, all of a sudden your body can't see that cold plane. Now, it definitely improves it to put in that insulated drape. But I couldn't, you know.
I was thinking in terms of using it in summer to keep out as a reflector.
Okay. If you wanted to keep the heat out, the best thing to do would be to make it a light color, okay? Because then you, when we were talking about the greenhouse effect where it comes in and is absorbed on a dark surface and it can't get back out, it can get back out if it's a light surface. Because rather than being absorbed and re-radiated, it'll be reflected. And then it'll go straight back out. So make it as light a color as you can. And if you're going to let it in. The other thing to do would be shading devices like awnings, like we used to use in the world. Those are better because they keep it out before it gets in. Also, things like little trellises that maybe go out and allow a little bit of plant growth or something like that. They let the low winter heat in, but they cut out the high summer sun, that kind of thing. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.